Let's turn now, though, to the Word of God. We turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61. Beautiful prophecy regarding the coming of Christ. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the year of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For so the soil makes the sprout to come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow. So the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations." Our text comes from verses 2 and 3. God in Christ will comfort all who mourn, last line of verse 2, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. When it comes to decorating for Christmas, there's all kinds of different standards that you might adapt. Do you go all out? Your family one of those that loves to go to a lot where they sell freshly cut Christmas trees so that you can buy one, maybe grown up north somewhere in some tree farm and cut down along about Thanksgiving time and trucked into your neighborhood, and you can buy one and bring it home and the whole smell of that pine tree fills the house? Or do you prefer to buy one of those artificial ones so that you don't have the expense every year? They come in all different sizes. They come in all different models. They come in all different qualities, from the scrawniest, most pathetic little thing, to the big and the luxurious. And if you're going to go into the decorating thing, do you decorate the trees outside? String out all kinds of lights? Do you get into decorating some of those trees that don't have needles? So that when people drive by in the daytime, they see nothing, but when they drive by at night, they see the whole tree adorned? Some people are really going out now by this tree netting. I guess if you've got a nice way of hoisting it all the way up, I saw a tree Friday. A beautiful tree. It was sculptured. Obviously, it had grown in that spot. Obviously, as well, they had sculptured it and tailored it, and it was all the way up a beautiful spruce or fir. And they had dropped on this tree a whole wrapping, a netting, all the way down. So this 30, 35 foot, maybe it was 40 feet tall, all the way down. Netting and lights all the way around. And as the sun was going down in the west, I noticed, seemed as though all of the birds of the town had found that tree. They were inside of those Christmas lights, inside of that netting, and they were chattering up a storm. They were having a wonderful Christmas party inside of the middle of that tree. Where does all this stuff come from? And where do all these traditions get started? Oh, yes, you know, there's that whole aspect of the commercial world, but be honest. Where did it all start? Started with Christians. Way back in history, shortly after the apostles were dead and gone to glory, the last one being Apostle John, in the year 98 AD, Christians started to celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ. 40 years later, mind you, this is in the Roman Empire, 40 years later, that had spread from church to church and congregation to congregation, and the Christian church decided in 138 AD to declare it a Christian holy day. Catch people when you're out and about with that word holiday and pronounce it the way the Christians originally pronounced it. Holy day. Oh, but then the Roman Empire was going through a time of persecution and Christians really had a struggle to just survive as God would take the chapters of history. Constantine came to the throne and was converted to Christianity and persecution was done. By the 400s, about the time of Augustine, St. Augustine, Christians decided the one day of the year that they should all celebrate Christmas, December 25th. First converted Christian, converted to Christianity, King of France, Clovis I, requested that he be baptized as a Christian Christmas Day in the year 496. Charlemagne, the great emperor, crowned in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, year 800, Christmas Day. Where do all these customs come from, though? Some Christians, prizing everlasting life in Christ, started taking at Christmas time pieces of spruce and fir and pine, cedar, clipping them off and putting them on top of the hearth above the fireplace. Hence the concept, deck the halls and spruce it up. Some of those Christians thought just laying those branches on the hearth wasn't enough. Let's put it in a wreath. Weave it together. A circle that had no end and no beginning, like everlasting life. Other Christians came along and said, well, let's attach a big red ribbon to it, symbolizing blood of Christ, which gives us everlasting life. Other Christians came along and said, well, this joy is so contagious, we want to share it with the neighbors. And at Christmas time, yeah, even in the dark of the winter, they would start singing from house to house to house. Others would come along and light candles and put candles in the window to coax, encourage those Christian carolers to come sing at their house too. And so the tradition grew. Italian Christians love to make little nativity scenes. German Christians chose to do one better. Go out into the woods and cut a tree down and put it in the house. The whole smell of it could fill that house. And so too the tradition in many homes to put decorations and ornaments on those trees, whether it be a little handcrafted thing that a child makes in school or preschool, or whether it be some fancy, delicate ornament that you buy in some fancy high-scale store. I understand you can buy some now that cost more than $100 per ornament. I'm sure the parents who know accident-prone children in the house would never hang that one within striking distance. But here in this text, the Lord flips it totally around. Not the adornment you can put on some tree, but instead, when He comes to you in Christ, He flips it totally around. And according to this text, He adorns you like a tree. Verse 3, they will be called trees of righteousness or oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. For what purpose? It says there right in the text, for the display of His splendor. What is the Lord doing to you? If you are a Christian, if you belong to Him in Christ, He wants to take your life and He wants to adorn it for the glory of His splendor. He wants your life to look so beautiful that everybody around is going to see in you something far outstanding beyond all of the darkness around. But to simplify it, let me just put it in terms of ornaments. I see here in this text. Look at it. What's the very first ornament you see? Last part of verse 2. It is the candle of His comfort. What does it say? If you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, He will give to you comfort to all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Comfort for all who mourn. That's the first ornament. The candle of His comfort, the candle of His care, the candle of His compassion for all those who mourn. Now take a step back. Better yet, take 5 steps back. At Christmas time, what population of the Christian community has the toughest time trying to celebrate? those who are mourning, those who've come through deep and penetrating grief. For in your mourning, and your heart has just been ripped by that grief, and you come into Christmas, and people seem to be singing and celebrating everywhere, and it seems as though the singing rings hollow, and the celebration sing seems as trinket style as the tinny ring of a jingle bell. What does the Lord do? He comes along and he brings the candle of his comfort. It would seem to only be accentuated if you have experienced grief in the year leading up to Christmas. And all of you in the church family know, so I might as well say it. And a couple years ago when, on December the 22nd, 3 days before Christmas, our whole family was gathered together in a cold, windy hilltop cemetery in North Georgia. That mourning experience so affected our entire family clan. Christmas has never been the same. Many of you know exactly what that means. What does the Lord do? He gives the candle of his comfort. It's almost as if he says to you, I will give you light in the darkness. No, he is not going to take your loved one from the holy halls of heaven and let them sit in your living room again. And no, he is not going to take that one that's been called home from the streets of gold to come walking up your sidewalk. But here is the candle of his comfort, for as he gives you light in your darkness, it's like he's whispering into your ear, but someday, you may come home to my home and you may talk without limit of time to that loved one gone before. You shall meet again. Second ornament, there in the text. It's the ornament of the oil of his gladness instead of mourning. Why? What beautiful ornaments, don't you think? Red, silver, you can buy them gold, yellow, blue, white, whatever you want. You can buy expensive ones, little ones, medium size, big ones. You can buy them in a dollar store. You can make them handmade. What does God give for ornaments? The ornaments of the oil of his gladness. Why? Look back on the year, and you know there's plenty of sadness. God does not want that in your life. If your perspective is straight in Christ, yeah, lots of things happen. The boss chews you out. The company downsizes. The corporation gives you a demotion instead of a promotion. A fight breaks out. A fight that is so engineered. It's like nobody wins but the devil. And the sadness that just bubbles out of it, even when a stack of Christmas cards come in the mail, but in between the Christmas cards are these bills and the bills in between the Christmas cards sabotage the joy. What does the Lord want? He gives instead the oil of gladness. For if you are in Christ, You know, this life is not the final destination anyway. And if you are in Christ, you know He will provide even if the boss won't. And if you are in Christ, you know that He will provide even healing your wounds, even if other people have dished out. Oh, but how? The oil of gladness? From the oil flask. Like a shepherd's horn. So the good shepherd kneels beside the wounded sheep and he pours in the oil and the sheep responds, "You anoint my head with oil." And a good Samaritan kneels beside the wounded, bleeding man and he pours into the wounds the oil of healing and the oil of gladness so that even the worst scars that 2011 has dished out, the Lord wants to heal them with the ornament of His gladness. Third ornament. Or third adornment, you should say. What is it? Verse 3. He gives the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Oh, yeah. This is more than just a candle. This is more than just an ornament. What does He give? He gives a whole garment to wrap you in His praise. Let me take you on a flashback. December 1955. I was a first grader in a little country school, Wisconsin, a mile and a half west of my parents' house. Yep, one of those little country schools with a pot-bellied stove in the back, 8 classes in the classroom. I came to the Christmas season, and Miss Summers, she taught in that school for something like 35 years. Miss Summers, nearing retirement, had us first graders and second graders spend some of the leading up to Christmas taking these bowls of popcorn, putting a needle with a thread directly through the kernels. And we were supposed to, you remember, eh? See it on your face. And they were supposed to give more and more, build this long little garland. Somehow the girls in class seemed to always have longer, nicer garlands than the boys. And somehow, from the boys in class, kernels happened to be disappearing between the bowl and the string. But after class, a couple of the 7th grader and 8th graders had to stay behind. They helped Mrs. Summers tie all those strings together, and they garlanded them all the way around that big Christmas tree, all the way up to the top, getting ready for the Christmas program. And yes, we sang a whole batch of Christian Christmas carols. What does the Lord want to do for His children? He wants to adorn them in praise. So if you were to adopt a little child this week, some little beggar child, and take the child into your home, what would be the first thing you'd want to do? Get rid of their rags. Get rid of their tatters. Get rid of the junky clothes, grubby and ugly and torn that they've come with, and adorn them with beautiful clothing and shroud the whole child with something new and beautiful. What does the Lord want to do here in your life? If you are in Christ, He wants to adorn you in His praise so that you're not bragging about self. And not once this Christmas do you boast about what you have done and what you've accomplished and what you've done. None of that. The third adornment, a whole garment so your whole life is enshrouded in His praise. And fourth, are you ready for this one? Did you notice we skipped over a part of the text? In verse 3, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. What's he going to give to his children? Is he going to top it off? Oh, so if you're putting a Christmas tree together, well, even the construction type that you take out of the box, what do you put at the top? A nice, beautiful star? A nice, dainty angel? What does the Lord put on the top? A crown. No, you want to argue with the Lord. A crown. A crown is for the victorious. A crown is for the winner. A crown is for royalty. Kings and queens wear crowns. Princes and princesses wear crowns. Oh, but you realize when you are in Christ, you are victorious in Christ. When you are in Christ, you're a winner in Christ. When you are in Christ, oh. Christmas has not culminated planet Earth. It's culminated in heaven. And in heaven, what does he give to his children? The crown of glory that fadeth not away. And when you are in his holy presence, what are you going to do? You're going to do what the angels do. You're going to do what the saints do. Casting down your golden crown before his feet. Oh, you see, in heaven, he redeems his children totally. And in heaven, each one who is in Christ inherits the crown for the 92-year-old. Or the middle-ager. Or even for the little child, the child's size crown. Oh, but again, that's only for the prince or the princess. Yes, that's the point. If he is your God, if he is your Christ, if he is your King of Kings, and you belong to him, then you are a child of God, you are a child of the King, and you are a prince or princess of the Lord. So he adorns you. The candle of his comfort. The ornament of the oil of his gladness. The whole garment of his praise, robe of righteousness, and a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, what a Christian you are. For when I see you someday, and when you see me someday in his holy heaven, what a glorious creature of beauty you shall be. Oh, Heavenly Father, tonight we ask but one thing, and that is that you would adorn us in Christ completely as you design, and grant others to see in us the comfort, the consolation, the joy, the gladness, the praise, the crown that comes directly from you. In Christ's name, we humbly pray. Amen.